Hi, and welcome to First Bite, a Nation's Restaurant News Podcast. I'm Leanne Zinsmeister. Today is Wednesday, November 23rd, and here are your top stories. First, Larry H. Miller Company acquires a majority stake in Swig Soda Shop. Savory Fund is passing the ownership baton over to the Real Estate and Entertainment Investment Company. Second, how 21 restaurant companies performed in their most recent quarters. Chains have largely succeeded so far at balancing menu price increases and traffic levels. Third, why Rockin' Brews is positioned for growth. The casual dining chain is tapping into pent-up demand for experiences and targeting casinos to expand its footprint. Fourth, Michelin-starred chef Amanda Cohen enters the plant-based burger wars. Lekka Burger opened its second location in New York City. And finally, how to use dish-level data to boost menu margins without risking customer satisfaction. Instincts alone can't help you through this difficult season of inflation and supply chain instability. And now, let's dive deeper into a story from NRN.com. A few overarching themes emerged from the Restaurant Development and Finance Conference last week in Vegas, and none of them should be a surprise to anyone in the restaurant space. To summarize, things are challenging right now with across-the-board inflation, supply chain pressures, labor pressures, you name it. One operator said he wouldn't recommend anyone open a restaurant until things get better. That being said, there is optimism that things will get better. When, however, is the million-dollar question? Here to share her observations from the conference is executive editor Alicia Kelso.
Essentially, you know, nobody can really articulate or make sense of the economy right now. It's sort of all over the place. I've written about this. Several others in the industry and other industries have written about this. It's just hard to pinpoint what's happening. Essentially, we know that an economic downturn is looming. You know, every expert economist has predicted that a recession, likely a soft minor recession, will hit at some point in 2023. So that is, you know, that's like the overarching theme at a restaurant development and finance conference. What does that mean for the industry? Essentially, people don't know. I walked away from the conference with a sense of that ambiguity. And there's a weird sense of optimism. I don't want to say it's cautious optimism, but it's definitely reserved optimism. About, you know, sort of how to navigate 2023, not knowing if there will be indeed a soft landing on this recession. So we know, right, the Fed is trying to control inflation by upticking the interest costs. So it's going to make business more expensive. It's going to make it more expensive to do business. It's going to make it more expensive to grow business. But operators are still itching to do and grow business, right? So there was sort of a reconciliation that was happening in many of the conversations that I had at this conference. And what I can tell you generally, thematically, is that operators, again, they're optimistic, but they're reserved in that. And one operator said he would never recommend anybody start a restaurant right now, but he said, talk to me next year, because I have a feeling that it's going to be a lot more optimistic next year once the uncertainties are gone. The biggest uncertainty remains inflation. So if the Fed does its job and does it right, and we start balancing out that inflation with these higher interest rates, then it might be easier. The one concern there is, does that uptick the unemployment rate? How high does unemployment go if we do, dive into recession? And the unemployment rate is the biggest economic indicator for the success of the restaurant industry, right? So we're seeing sales continue to coast by, even though every restaurant is raising their prices. Consumers are still pretty confident in spending, 10 to 13% more on those menu items. If there's a higher unemployment rate, that will probably be reined in a little bit. The best thing I can tell you is I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. I will say this, Leanne, if I can, I laugh about that. I laugh about saying, I don't know. I laugh about the uncertainties and, you know, just throwing my hands up in the air and again, trying to articulate what any of this, means right now. The optimism I'm getting from these discussions, it's coming from a really interesting place. So most of these operators were basically like, look, we got through hell and back, unprecedented challenges, unprecedented uncertainties. This is not that. So, you know, it's not, I'm not saying COVID's over, but I doubt we'll ever see that regulatory environment that we saw, in the first wave or even during Omicron or Delta. So I think that there is a sense of maybe a confidence that wasn't there before, that it's like, hey, we got through this. We can get through, you know, economic waves come and go, economic cycles come and go all the time. And most savvy business owners know that all it takes is a little bit of patience to wait through that economic wave.
You also wrote an interesting piece about dynamic pricing. Can you tell me a little bit about that and why restaurants are leaning into it now?
Yeah, that was one of the, you know, obviously with these conferences, there's so many opportunities for educational sessions. This was the one that I wanted to attend because in my 12 years of covering this industry, I'm just now sensing that dynamic pricing is becoming a topic in restaurants, which is really fascinating because hotels have been doing dynamic pricing. You know, one of the panelists actually was in the hotel industry, and he was talking about how dynamic pricing was a major thing after September 11th in hotels in New York City, because nobody wanted to stay in hotels because of the fear that was lingering. So that was like 20 plus years ago. And restaurants are just now talking about dynamic pricing when industries have been doing this for decades. It's a little bit more in the headlines now. You and I both know very well that dynamic pricing last week was a very much an issue with Ticketmaster and the Taylor Swift Eras concert. So there's a negative sort of rap that's come with dynamic pricing, but the panelists made it really crystal clear that it's not just about increasing prices, right? Restaurants across the board are doing that to manage inflation and protect their margins. Dynamic pricing is also about reducing prices during slow times to make sure those margins are protected, to make sure that the volumes stay pretty consistent, basically adjusting based on time of day. There are weather implications, you know, for example, pizzas are ordered more when it rains, for example. How do you adjust the pricing to manage that volume during a thunderstorm? So it's a new conversation in the industry. It's not new overall. What needs to happen in the restaurant industry is just that sort of ramp up of the technology comfort levels. And that's where we've always been behind. You know, we are just notoriously slow on tech adoptions and no more. Again, if the pandemic did anything, it's accelerated our comfort level with technology and our willingness to invest in such technologies. And here's a perfect opportunity to sort of leverage that changing environment for us. And I think that I think we'll get, you know, far deeper into dynamic pricing. One of the panelists was a franchisee, said his return on investment for this tech system was like tenfold. I mean, it's just it's been proven in other industries for so long that, we would be silly not to even consider it, especially now in the inflationary environment. But further, consumers are used to it. They're used to knowing that, hey, I might call an Uber at 11 p.m. and it's going to cost more than if I call an Uber at 5 p.m. We are so used to dynamic pricing, it's ridiculous. So the fact that restaurants are just starting to take advantage of this, I think screams at a boatload of potential ahead here.
Yeah. Anything else?
The conference was really, really well attended. And again, there was a lot of energy there. It's good to see these conferences returning in the industry. Mm-hmm. I will note that this conference in particular, maybe this is just my unique optic as a female in the restaurant industry, but it was a little stunning to see how few female leaders were there talking. I would say it was maybe even less than 10%, maybe less than 15%. I'm sure that's a product of the finance, finance industry in particular. But I think it'd be curious to have some conversations about how do we get more representation at finance development conferences, or these conferences in general. Cause it was certainly stunning to me. I couldn't believe it. So that I think is a continued conversation that needs to happen, is we're going to talk about DEI efforts that needs to extend into the finance and development space. And this is a perfect example.
Thanks for listening to this episode of First Bite. We're taking the rest of the week off and we'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, stay up to date with your news at nrn.com.